From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Silver and Black today on this Thursday here on Raider Nation Radio 920 in Las Vegas. A sunny, crisp Las Vegas. Love the winter weather here. We need some rain, but hey, we'll take it. Of course, always powered by our good friends, Sam and Ash, injury attorneys, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's best. Big weekend ahead, the conference championship games in the NFL, AFC Chiefs and Bills, NFC the Packers and the Buccaneers. And to talk to us about that now and to analyze this game a little bit, we welcome back our good friend Danny Heifetz from The Ringer. You can follow him on Twitter, at Danny, D-A-N-N-Y underscore Heifetz, H-E-I-F-E-T-Z. Danny, thanks for being with us again here on Silver and Black today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, man. So, okay, let's dive in, right? Because we got great action. It's one of those weekends when you get to conference championship weekend and you're going to get down to determine who's in the Super Bowl. You want to see the four best teams out there, and it's hard to argue that these four teams are not those teams. They've got not only gotten there, but you look at the quarterback matchups. Let's start with the AFC first, Danny. This game is all about, to me, the kind of modern prototype NFL quarterback, mobile but can throw, really high efficient in the passing games. You have these high flying passing attacks that put up point. Is this sort of a preview on the AFC side of teams in the league and what we're going to see for years to come as far as what teams and what offenses are going to look like?
I think that's a great point. I think that's exactly where things are going. It's not an accident that the four teams that made this round are the three highest scoring teams in football. So the Packers are first, the Bills are second, the Bucks are third. And then the Chiefs might have a better offense than any of those other three teams. So that's not an accident, right? We're kind of in the era where it seems like offense might win championships. But to your point, the Bills and Chiefs, they both have, you know, it's really about quarterbacks are kind of like basketball players these days. You know, it's like the basketball players that really can lead a team to a championship. You need someone who can create a shot when the play breaks down. And that's what these mobile quarterbacks can do, right? Josh Allen, the play called works great. But if it doesn't work, he rolls out. He just pulls something, you know, out of somewhere creative. The problem is Mahomes, even if he returns from concussion protocol, he had that foot injury, which we all kind of forgot about because he's in the concussion protocol. But he was limping pretty bad. So he's got this foot injury. We'll see how mobile he really is. I think that's a really big question going into this. It's not just you know, whether he's able to play, but how much can he extend the plays like he usually does?
Hey, Danny, it's Evan. We're talking about the quarterbacks. Both the Bills and the Chiefs are teams that are built around those quarterbacks. But the key to the game could come down to which defense shows up and makes some plays. Based on what you've seen recently, which defense do you feel more confident in going into the weekend's game?
Oh, that's such a good question. Confident, you know, I think I lean to the Bills. It's really interesting. So obviously these teams played in week six, and that game is pretty interesting because what the Bills did was they put their safeties way back. They put their linebackers, all the defenders way back, and they're like, you know what? You are not getting big pass plays against us. You can run, and basically the Bills were betting, we think you're going to get bored of running because you guys are a gunslinging offense, and we think you got an itchy trigger finger, and you're going to throw a pick eventually because you just can't help yourself. And then the Chiefs actually stayed disciplined. They ran 45, 46 times for about 245 yards. It was the most rushing yards, most running attempts ever for an Andy Reid coach team. That includes the Eagles, too. So we're talking about 20 years of Andy Reid. They ran more against the Bills in Week 6 than any of those other 20 years of Andy Reid teams. And that's because Patrick Mahomes had all these RPOs, those run-pass options. He didn't take the bait. He kept handing the ball off. So I think that they were very disciplined about keeping that up. So I think the Bills, the question for them in this game is, do they want to go with the same plan of, do you want to just let the Chiefs run? Now, the Bills lost that game in week six, but the Chiefs only scored 26 points. That was actually one of the worst games for the Chiefs offense in the first 3 months of the season. So I think that the Bills can kind of go with a hybrid model of not letting the Chiefs run whatever they want. But especially if Mahomes is diminished, or, you know, Chad Henne plays, obviously he's not that great, I think the Bills defense could do pretty well.
Danny Heifetz from The Ringers join us. He talks about and writes about, I should say, the NFL for The Ringer. And Danny's building on that Bills defense question, because I agree with you on that Bills defense. But what do they do with the Chiefs from a passing perspective? Because if you shut down the Chiefs over the top and players like Tyreek Hill, guess what? That guy, he's pretty good. His name is Travis Kelce. He's out there and he'll kill you. So if you're the Bills and you decide to say, hey, we're going to mix it up a little, we're going to run a little bit, but we're also going to key in on the pass. What do you do? How do you beat the Chiefs with that passing game? And we know Le'Veon Bell's not a big deal in the Chiefs offense, but he is hurt and he might not go. So what do you do? Do you stop over the top? Do you key in on Kelce? Because one or the other is going to get you.
I think you pray. and I know, really, I mean, I think that the reason that this Chiefs offense is crazy is because in part, you have two guys that have to be doubled up. You know, there's a lot of football and X's and O's you can go into, and, you know, there's theories about how to stop them. But the reality is you've got the fastest guy in the league in Tyreek Hill, fastest guy in recent years, not just right now. And then you've got Travis Kelce, who basically needs to be doubled. There's probably, you know, five guys in the NFL, you can count them on one hand, that can really handle Travis Kelce on one. And so at the end of the day, they put Travis Kelce on one side. They go three receivers on the other side, including Tyreek Hill. And what are you supposed to do? It's like there's not really a plan that works for that, because even if you draw something up on a chalkboard, when you put it into practice, it's not that simple. It can't really be done. So that's why I think the Bills weren't the only team to do that extreme thing where they say, you know what, fine, run the ball as much as you want. I mean, there are other teams that tried. I think the Broncos tried that. The Raiders messed around with it a little bit, actually, a little bit. But I think that a team is so good, and as you said, the Kelce Hill connection is so strong that teams are basically saying, fine, run as much as you want because we don't know how else to do it. And that really is an ultimate sign of respect when you've got coaches as good as Leslie Frazier, who's the Bills coordinator, and Sean McDermott, their head coach. When they're saying we don't know what to do, then I think there's really nothing you can do.
That's a great question. Talking about the coaches, we saw how important coaching was last week in that Chiefs game when Andy Reid made that critical call to go for it and throw the ball there to end the game. He has the experience in these championship games, obviously the Super Bowl title under his belt. But when you look across the sidelines, this will be a first time for Sean McDermott. How much does Reid's experience in these big games help the Chiefs in a game like this?
I think it helps a lot because Andy Reid's like self-actualized at this point. I think it does help to be a made man, right? Reid's a made man at this point. I think that fourth down call last week, I think it's pretty representative. You know, he's in this second act he's had as the Chiefs head coach. There's no reservations. He's going for it. He goes for the throat. He steps on people's necks. He goes to end the game. And I like that a lot. I think that it's worth always reminding ourselves how would you have reacted if it went wrong? Because it's important to judge process instead of outcome. But Andy Reid's process is he goes for it. I'm curious to see how Sean McDermott coaches, but I'm not worried about Sean McDermott in these big games. I think he has ice in his veins. I think the bigger question is Josh Allen. I think I'm more interested in Josh Allen's big game, late game nervousness than I am about Patrick Mahomes. And I think that is the one thing for the Bills is, can Josh Allen, you know, is he going to be able to not panic, quite frankly? And I want to make sure that I think is the real question for the Bills. I'm not so worried about McDermott.
Yeah, Danny Heifetz from the Ringer is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio. Danny, one more question on this AFC game before we switch over to the NFC. Is matchups for the Bills? You just talked about the fact that Josh Allen, you know, can he withstand the pressure? It's a big, big game, and any young player in that sense might have some jitters. And if they're at key times, that could really hurt the Bills. But when you look at that Bills offense and you look at the Chiefs defense, what matchups favor the Bills, and perhaps what matchups cause them some issues and cause Josh Allen some issues there too?
That's a great question. So I think that what causes them issues is it's going to be about how much they can confuse Josh Allen, because bless his heart, I think he's made a lot of improvements this season. But when he's had issues, it's in zone, right? The worst game he had all season was against the Chiefs in that Week 6 loss. And then the second worst game he had all season was the next week against the Titans. So what are the similarities between that Chiefs game and the Titans game? They disguised coverages against Josh Allen, and they also played zone. So in man-to-man coverage, it's kind of like recess, right? It's I got you, you got him. Josh Allen in coverage had like 25 passing touchdowns and like one pick. But against zone, He had like 11 touchdowns with like 8 picks. Zone is just a harder beast to unravel. And so when defenses add the extra wrinkle of not only that, we're going to show you one thing before the snap so you think you know what's happening, and then you snap the ball, guess what? We just changed everything. It's kind of like all these defenders change positions. They're like, oh, actually the safety is the linebacker now, and the linebacker is the safety. And Tom Brady does not get confused by those things. But Josh Allen is still a relatively raw player. So when the Chiefs do those things and you think that, oh, the middle linebacker, Anthony Hitchens, is going to drop to the middle of the field, and then the ball snaps, oh, actually, it's Tyrann Mathieu doing that now. That's like the best ball hawk in the NFL. Can Josh Allen identify that every play? Because this isn't like he has to drop back 30 times, right? The Bills didn't hand the ball off till after the two-minute warning last week. So he has to figure this out like 60 times in this game to get it right. And it only takes two or three mistakes to really get confused and make the wrong read or the wrong assumption for it to be a game-changing play.
Danny, I want to jump over to the NFC. That's going to be a great game as well with the Packers and the Buccaneers. Aaron Rodgers has been on a mission all year long. Looks like he will win the MVP, or at least he should. He's going to be playing in his fifth NFC title game on Sunday, but it's the first time that he'll be playing in this game at Lambeau Field. How much do you expect that to help him out and the Packers versus the Buccaneers?
Well, Rodgers is the one who wanted it, right? They lost last year. He said, we got to get one of these in. So if Aaron Rodgers thinks it's a big deal, I think it's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. And Danny, when you look at that game too, you know, a lot has been made of Tom Brady. And of course, the guy just continues to go out and get it done. Not always pretty, but he gets it done, especially towards the end of the season. But it's that Buccaneers defense that I think has really kept this team in. Yes, the offense has come along late as well. But can that defense of Tampa Bay do what it has to do in the cold against Aaron Rodgers, who seems to be dealing at a level we haven't seen from him in a couple years?
You know, I think we're going to have a hard time shutting down Rodgers. And that's funny to say, because the worst game Aaron Rodgers had all season was against the Bucs in week 6. Ironically, both these games are rematches of week 6, which is really weird. I think it's strange. But I think that in week 6, the Bucs just got to Aaron Rodgers. They just hit him. They kept getting it on. And, I mean, Aaron Rodgers against the Bucs last time had the third lowest passer rating of his career.
Wow.
He threw two picks in the second quarter against the Bucs. In the other 67 quarters he played this season, he had 3 picks, but he had 2 in the second quarter. But here's the thing. I don't think the Bucs are going to be able to hit him. I don't think the Packers are just blocking so much better now. Even though they lost left tackle David Bakhtiari, who's like an all-pro, they're just blocking better. The Packers, they could have let Rodgers get hit because they had all these little miscommunications. It's like the offense wasn't fully baked. Now it's like perfect. It's great. It's just, it's got itself together. It's gelled. And I just think that the Bucs are going to have much more trouble pressuring Rodgers. And if you can't pressure Rodgers, you can't stop Rodgers. That's just a fact. And I think they're going to have a harder time.
What about Tom Brady on the other side, the old man of the NFL now, and he's wheeling a deal. He wants to prove, I think, that he can win another championship without Bill Belichick at his side and giving him the plays. So what do you think Tom Brady, I mean, it seems like from what you said just now about the Bucs not being able to stop Green Bay, that Tom Brady's going to have to outscore Aaron Rodgers. Is that possible?
It's Tom Brady. Anything's possible. Absolutely. You know, it's funny because, you know, will the Packers be able to stop him? I think this is not exactly the most interesting thing, but the Bucs' right guard is like the weak link on that offensive line. And we've heard so much time about, you know, you have to do a 4-man rush to stop Brady. But that's not even enough anymore because he gets the ball out so fast, the edge rushers can't get to him. You not only have to pressure with 4, you got to do it up the middle. So I think that whether the Packers can really get through the right guard, honestly, I'm sorry, I forget his name, Alex something, or Alex Kappa got hurt, but this backup guard, if he's the weak link, if they can get through to Brady, that's really the key. But it's kind of an odd round because all 4 defenses really have to do the opposite of what they did last week, which is really strange if you think about it, but it's true. The Buccaneers beat the Saints because they didn't respect Drew Brees' arm. They were like, you can't throw over us. But now they're playing Aaron Rodgers. You have to respect his arm. And then the Bills kind of did the same thing with the Ravens. The Bills didn't respect Lamar Jackson's passing. All right, well, now they're playing the Chiefs. You have to respect the passing. You have to do the opposite, really. And then the Chiefs beat the Browns, and all the Browns want to do is run. But now the Chiefs are playing the Bills, and the Bills didn't run until after the two-minute warning. So that's the opposite game plan. And now the Packers just beat Jared Goff and the Rams. Jared Goff, again, bless his heart, not known for reading defenses. And now they got to play Tom Brady, the best reader of defenses we've ever seen. So it's just this strange outcome where every defense you saw last week is getting thrown into trash and they need a completely new game plan. So I don't know how the Packers stop Brady if they can't really get to pressure him.
Wow, yeah, it's going to be a fascinating weekend. So what does your gut tell you about these two games? Who do you have advancing to Tampa into the Super Bowl?
You know, I think the Packers win. You know, betting against Brady feels dumb, but you know what? So is betting against Rodgers.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
That at the end of the day, I'd rather have the team the Packers have in the scheme and the team that the Packers have around Rodgers than I would what's going on around the Bucks. I think the Bucks are getting Brady more comfortable in that system. There's more motion. There's better play action. But I think Rodgers and that whole offense are a team. I think the Bucks are still a little bit a collection of talent, a collection of players, not quite a team yet. And then in the AFC, you know, I think it's the Chiefs. I love the Bills, but I still can't, even if, and assuming Mahomes plays, I still can't take Josh Allen over Mahomes until I see it happen.
Yeah, especially in a big game. Mahomes now has been there 2 years in a row. Of course, he lost the AFC Championship to Tom Brady 2 years ago, but then he goes all the way last year. And there's that experience to me in the postseason, and the fact that you've come out on top is such a huge deal, especially when the attention, and even though these stadiums won't be full, it's still a big deal, and I give him the edge as well. All right, Danny, as always, man, we appreciate you spending time with us. Enjoy the games this weekend, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much. And you can check out TheRinger.com or The Ringer Fantasy Football Show on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts.
There you go. We'll make sure to link that up on our Twitter handle as well. Danny Heifetz from The Ringer. We'll talk to you later. Take care, man. All right. Evan, there you go, man. So he's got the Packers and the Chiefs. I know that doesn't fit the narrative in your household in Buffalo Bills country, but I'm just fascinated. I think the point he brought up there, too, was, look, three of these four teams were the three highest scoring teams in pro football.
Yeah, that was a great point there, and I that definitely shows you. As I said, it's a quarterback league. You got to have that top-notch quarterback, and if you can get a defense that's playing middle of the road, you should be good to go. One of the other interesting things I thought that he mentioned was the fact that the game plans are going to be totally different this week. I hadn't even thought about that. That was
it's very interesting.
Yeah, it's completely different night and day from what they faced and prepared for last week.
Yeah, and to me, that's what's really dynamic about this because, and I agree, I think Danny did such a great job of breaking down the fact that you look at Aaron Rodgers and what the Chiefs have to do to stop him, and to your point about the defenses last week versus this week, you have to in essence have personality disorder. Whatever you did last week, you have to trash it and redo it and do the exact opposite. But then again, these quarterbacks can also hurt you running. Now last week, of course, against Baltimore, Jackson could run as well, and we saw what happened. But nonetheless, I think that these two games are fascinating, and I really do believe. And I will say, I thought the Bucs were overrated in the preseason. I didn't see them making it all the way, but here they are, and they proved me wrong, and Tom Brady continues to do what he does. But these really are, to me, the four best teams in the NFL. And the fact that we all get to watch the games and see the best of the best there, although we'd love to see the Raiders there, is very cool. And I think that you don't always get that. Sometimes you get teams who just get on a hot streak. They might not be the best team in the league at the time, or excuse me, overall, but they just get hot, and it's interesting to see. But I do agree with him on the Packers. I just don't see the Buccaneers being able to slow them down enough to win that game. So it'll be fascinating. We're going to give you our picks later as well. Total picks, that is, soon. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls. We haven't gotten to the phones yet. 702-365-9200 is the number. I want to hear your opinion on this game and where it's going, as well as anything else you'd like to talk, Raider Nation related, NFL related, sports related, and of course, coming up at the top of the hour, Sam Quinn from CBS Sports. We're going to talk NBA expansion and possibly a Las Vegas franchise starting up in the National Basketball Association. You're with Evan Grote, Scott Goldbranson here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.